Good morning, everyone. All of us expected for Kelly Kinsley to be speaking today, but he was under the weather, and I was preparing for next week anyway, so I told him I would be happy to fill in so that he can have that extra time to recover at home. I didn't know until just a few days ago, probably about a week ago, that our next quarter, the first quarter of 2024, the Sabbath school lesson topic is the Psalms. Okay, so I started preparing this sermon well before that. And then a few weeks ago at home, Joe was reading out loud from the Bible a text that he thought was pretty neat, and it was some verses from Psalm 139. And the verses that he read sounded familiar, like I've heard them before, and they caught my attention. And so then I looked it up in my Bible, and I read further. And since I was on the elder schedule, I decided to study more into Psalm 139. It's only 24 verses. And decided to use that as a base for my sermon. So I read the entire chapter of Psalm 139, and I later studied more about it, and I realized why I liked it so much. Have you noticed that sometimes a scripture passage, a book of, say, a certain chapter or a certain section inside of a chapter, you seem to connect with it more than others? That's the way it was with that when I was studying it. This morning, when I do quote from different verses from Psalm 139, I'll be using the Remnant Study Bible, which is a New King James Version, and it's published by Remnant Publications. And the reason I'm mentioning this, at the front of this Bible, there's a statement requiring giving credit to this particular version of the Bible when you're quoting from it for any length of time. And not to embarrass her, but Young Kim is one of the contributors to this study Bible, along with a lot of other people that are mentioned in the front. Yeah, her name's there. Anyway, you can talk to her after church about what she might have, what kind of part she may have played in being a contributor. I also looked in the Bible commentary on Psalm 139, and if any of you wanted to write it down or not, it's in volume 3 of the Bible commentary, pages 924 to 926. And then I began to realize why I really like Psalm 139. Anyway, it explains the format, and the language resembles closely that style of the book of Job with similar rhythmical structure. Did you know that the Bible, some of the chapters have a rhythmical structure to them? Anyway, I did some research on this, and I'm not an expert on this by any means. People that are into music and poetry probably know what this is. It is divided into 4 strophes. Strophes is spelled S-T-R-O-P-H-E-S. I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary to see what that was talking about, and I also talked to Miss Dale briefly about it because she has a degree in music, and it's a poetic and a musical term, and I had never heard it before. And one definition is that it is a movement of a classical chorus with turning from one side to the other of the orchestra. For example, it turns and twists with a regular rhythm and format. And I read further that the orchestra, the director of the orchestra, will have one part of the orchestra play a section, and then they'll go and have another section play, and that's like turning and twisting. That's where that term came up with. And like I said, I don't really know what I'm talking about, I guess. But I can understand it somewhat. In Psalm 139, there are 4 strophes, each consisting of 6 verses for a total of 24 verses. And I'm realizing more now that I read some more about it, that the rhythm and the regularity of it is what sets well with me. From an early age, I was exposed to and have appreciated classical music, sacred music, gospel music that has regular rhythmical structure. And you guys might laugh at this, but even now, Joe laughs, because he knows what I'm going to talk about, and my daughter and son know. Even now, I put on classical music while I clean house, which is usually Fridays, while I sweep the floor, and while I mop, especially. The rhythm, it makes the work go better for me, and I move when I'm working. I keep in time to the music. Does it sound funny to you, or does it sound practical? Okay. I never knew anybody else that did that, but I do it. When I lived in Zambia for 3 years, we had an elderly man who lived on the property, and he kept the tall grass cut. Plus, he primarily kept a log fire burning underneath an enclosed 55-gallon drum that was tipped on its side where the water came in to the drum. And then he kept a fire burning underneath because it was a little bit off the ground, and that was for the hot water in our house. And Tembo was his name. And Tembo, like I said, he was elderly and he was white-haired, and I enjoyed doing some of the physical chores, so I would assist him, especially in this job, by swinging an African scythe. It's a straight, long metal blade. I looked up scythes on the internet. I couldn't find any picture showing the kind of scythe that I used there. But it's one that we came up with. It's about this, I don't know, about this wide, and it's kind of a long, kind of, I could hold it like this, and it would kind of go clear to the ground. And that would be how you would swing that back and forth. And you could swing it really wide. I mean, you could swing it as wide as you could, your shoulder would allow you. I was a lot younger then, too. And I would use it to cut down the tall grass that grew around the house. Can you imagine why? To keep the poisonous snakes less inclined to hang out. Yeah. My neighbor, the next house over, had an outdoor speaker, and when she noticed that I was out doing that, she put on beautiful harp music that had a really good rhythm. Recordings. I think her sister played harp and they'd recorded it. And when she saw me out there and realized that I was cutting grass the old-fashioned way, she would put that music on the speaker, and I would get out there. Any of you who've seen me work done at camp meeting, we don't do it with hand tools now, but I would get a lot done while listening to the classical music, and the beauty of the music and the rhythm really helped me handle that chore, and it took the tediousness out of it. So this, I'm mentioning this is because Psalm 139 has that rhythm and beauty to it. David wrote this psalm, and he recognized that God is present everywhere, and he's all-powerful, but also all-knowing. God searches each heart and knows each soul's condition, and he understands us better than we understand ourselves. I'm reading verses 1 to 3. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. And I want to add, he wants to be with us. It's not something that he just does because this is a chore. He wants to be involved with us. God reads our very minds. He knows our habits. He knows our likes and our dislikes and our preferences. He reads our thoughts. He knows what we will say next. I wish I knew that. So many times I wish my speech would come out of my mouth differently. God's knowledge is beyond our human grasp. Wherever we go, God is there. And I don't have a corner on this. This applies to everyone. I'm reading verses 7 to 10. Where can I go? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the grave, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning to dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Do you like word pictures? I know I do. And this is the advantage of reading. You can see in your mind pictures and imagine. And I've told people this before. One thing, if you had an opportunity, just imagine, if you had an opportunity to be an animal, what would it be? And I've always thought it would be neat to be a winged creature like a bird, where you could just fly and look down on everything and soar. Sometimes I see some of these birds that soar and with the up, you know, the updrafts up in the air. And that's very fascinating to me, and I always admire that skill. Verses 13 to 16 tell how God knew us before we were born. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. As an architect draws out his plan and prepares his specs for a new dwelling, so God plans each individual. It is for each person to decide whether he will follow the divine blueprint or not. Only God, who knows our inmost thoughts, can lead us safely. We all need an infallible guide. If we study physiology, we see that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, which should inspire us to reverence. The laws of health are an estimable privilege and a blessing. A chapter that I would strongly suggest that you would read is in a Christian book called Education by Ellen White, pages 195 to 201. And it's entitled The Study of Physiology. Well, she passed away in 1915. So if you've never read anything by her, you're probably thinking to yourself, oh, what does she know about the laws of health and all this modern stuff that we know now? She wasn't even alive. But if you read this, you'll be amazed. Whatever promotes physical health also promotes a strong mind and well-balanced character. She was given that information way back before that. There was a known connection between health and your physical health and your mental health and character. Ellen White advocates it is really important to guard our health and not to be indifferent. It's essential to study ways to improve our health and follow principles of healthy living. Even little children can learn at a very early age and continue learning as they grow up. This chapter is especially fascinating and timely even today, even though it was written many years ago. Many of the topics mentioned, I just reread it quickly and just wrote some notes. It talks about hygiene, it talks about posture, dress, nutrition, first aid classes, household arts, survival and camping skills, physical fitness, community service for others, nature study, and guess what else? Public speaking. I couldn't help but realize many of the honors taught in Pathfinders incorporate many of these topics. And I hadn't realized until I studied this chapter again to prepare for this sermon how many of the old-fashioned, what we call old-fashioned skills, are incorporated into Pathfinder honors. And of course, new modern honors are being added, but the standbys and many of the older required honors are those ones that I just mentioned. So those things are never outdated. Some verses in this chapter I especially like are in verses 17 to 18 and 23. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. This really hit home, and because I know I'm not the only one dealing with anxieties. And this is one of many Bible verses that assures us that God cares about each one of us. And I'm beginning more and more to realize why my dad really enjoyed reading from the Psalms. And he also memorized various chapters in the book of Psalms. And I have too over the years. He used to like to read from the Psalms during our family worships and when we would have them many years ago when I was a kid. There were 9 kids in our family. And he wanted us to learn to enjoy that type of reading because he knew it would benefit each of us throughout the years. And word pictures are frequent in the Bible. If God were to count the thoughts he has of each one of us, the number would exceed all the grains of sand. Have any of you even attempted to look at individual grains of sand, much less attempted to count them? How would you even count grains of sand? I mean, if you looked at, they're so small, my mind can't even picture how that could happen. So this type of expression is used so that we can contemplate on the enormity and the mind-blowing power of God. I like the very last phrase of Psalm 139. Lead me in the way everlasting. I pray that each of us will not be overwhelmed with life, and I'm addressing this to myself as well as to you. Remember, God is always with us, knows everything about us, knows what is best for us, and will never leave or forsake us. Remember Psalm 139, as well as many other Bible passages, that it's very reassuring and a reminder of God's care for each one of us. So now we're ready for the closing song.
Shalol Rice.
That's right. Sing it like you mean it.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Wonder-working power in wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Since things are lost in its life-giving flow, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Jesus, your King, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Amen.